What's my name?
Mr.
What's my name?
Mr.
What's my name?
Mr. Chaz.
Welcome to Mr. Chaz's Leadership, Parenting, and Teaching Podcast, where I introduce you to the people that can help you on your leadership, parenting, or teaching journey. And today, I have me as a guest, so I guess we're doing a series now with solo episodes with Mr. Chaz. And last episode, I talked about assertiveness, and we were talking about conscious discipline and the different skills. There are 7 skills in conscious discipline. There's composure, assertiveness, encouragement, choices, empathy, positive intent, and consequences. Last time I talked about assertiveness. Now this time I'm going to talk about empathy. And in this episode, I'm going to get deeper into it and give you a little bit more practical advice on what to do, how to handle situations, how to be empathetic, how to maybe understand empathy a little bit more. Now, this isn't the entirety of the skill of empathy that we're going to talk about, but I'm going to talk about a few really important parts and a few parts that have been really helpful for me when dealing with people in general, but especially with children. So with empathy, and I'm actually going to give you a script. Now, I always say, here's a script, don't use it, because I don't want you to be robotic with a script. But for people who are just starting off, or you're struggling with your composure in the moment, sometimes you can't access the part of your brain to really think creatively or think in a way to your of your higher self, and really access the quote unquote smart part of your brain. So sometimes a script can be helpful in those moments because it kind of gets you started. But if you use the same script over and over again too much, it gets very repetitive. It doesn't feel authentic, and children feel the inauthenticity, and that's going to not help the situation. Imagine if you went into your boss's office and you had a complaint, and you were really upset and you were really frustrated, you were mad about something. You felt disrespected by someone in a meeting, or you felt like they're giving you too much work, or your job description, your expectations aren't meeting the reality of the job, and you go in to talk to your boss to try to figure this out, to express what you're feeling, and they just read the HR script. They just pull out a little script and they read the HR script. You're probably going to be leaving feeling even more frustrated than when you even walked in. You might even be quitting. So, unfortunately, for children, fortunately and unfortunately, they can't quit us, right? They're stuck with us. So, we want to do our best to make the best out of the situation and be the best leaders, the best parents, the best teachers that we can be, especially since they don't really have any other option than to be with us. So let's talk about empathy. But before we talk about empathy and how to use it in the script, let's first talk about what gets in the way of empathy. A lot of times when we're in a survival mode, we are in the down in our brain, just maybe we haven't had enough sleep, or maybe we're feeling judged a lot, or we don't feel like we are that sense of belonging, a part of the group. It can happen. There can be a lot of reasons that we can get down in a survival state. Maybe it's we haven't had enough food, right? Maybe we're hungry. Maybe we are just at the end of our rope, and maybe it's a combination of factors. But it's important for us to know that when we are in a survival state, when we are worried about our own well-being, our own safety, it's going to be harder for us to offer empathy to somebody else, because we're going to be thinking about me, 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 me. How can I protect me? So it's important for us to be aware of that in those moments, to be aware of what we're feeling and to take care of our feelings, to recognize that, first recognize what we're feeling, because sometimes we're hungry, we're tired, and we're just going, got blinders on, we're just trying to go, go, go. And we don't take time to recognize what we're feeling. And So we just act out our feelings unconsciously a lot of the times. And unfortunately, children get the negative impact of that. And unfortunately, especially if this is happening over and over again, they internalize it. So we want to do our best to take care of our own feelings so we're not just putting them on children unconsciously. So we want to acknowledge what we're feeling. And that's really one of the first steps, to acknowledge, like, okay, I'm experiencing frustration. I'm experiencing hunger. I'm experiencing overwhelm. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm experiencing. That's the first thing. We have to acknowledge what we are feeling. And then once we get to that point, sometimes that's the hardest thing, just to become aware, to become conscious of what we're feeling so that we can acknowledge it for ourselves. Then we want to breathe, right? And once you practice this a lot, it starts to become second nature of acknowledging your feelings and just taking that deep breath in. And I recommend taking 3 deep breaths if you can, if you have the time to really take that moment to really regulate before you respond, so we're not reacting. Reacting are these unconscious actions that we take without thinking, and responding are thoughtful actions that we take purposefully. So that's what we want to do. And, you know, sometimes we don't, the thing is, like, I am angry, right? Like, that is the first thing that we think and that we feel. We do want to shift our self-talk to, instead of saying, I am angry, to I'm feeling or I'm experiencing, so we can kind of separate ourselves a little bit from that anger. We can acknowledge that we do not have to act out our anger, that we have a choice in what we say and what we do in this moment. And when we are regulated enough, then that's when we can start to really respond. And I would actually also say that mantras can be very helpful in this process. You know, one of my favorite mantras is, the child isn't giving me a hard time, they're having a hard time. Because, and it fits so well with this theme, it puts us in a place, in a position to really genuinely offer empathy to this child, right? Who is having a hard time with the expectations. Maybe they're hungry, right? Maybe they're overwhelmed. Maybe they're tired. Maybe they don't have the skills to solve this problem. And so that mantra, that's why I love that mantra specifically so much, is that it puts us in a place to really be helpful. This child is not giving me a hard time, they're having a hard time. And then from that place, we can come up with solutions. We can problem solve with them. We can, you know, find ways where we can both meet our needs as the adult and as the child, or as, you know, child and child, if it's conflict between two children. And so really, when we're in those places of, in that survival state, really just acknowledging what we're feeling, breathing, knowing, acknowledging, noticing the sensations in our body, talk about what we're experiencing, trying to relax, drink some water, say a mantra, let yourself know that you have a choice in how you respond, and then go into problem solving. Now that's for us, to get into problem solving mode for us. Now, when we get into problem solving mode, that child might not be in problem solving mode. They might still be in a survival state themselves, or an emotional state themselves. So how do we help them get to a better state so that they can engage in better problem solving? Now, here's what I'm going to give you. I'm not going to give you the script quite yet, because I want you to understand what's behind the script, the more the approach to take, so that you can alter and make it fit for yourself, make empathy fit for you in your language. It comes out authentically and genuinely from you to them. a lot of times us adults, we just think, and this is why I think it's really important to follow up the assertive episode with the empathy episode. We think that if they just listen to us, that everything will be sunshine and rainbows, the world will be right, and everything will be good. If they just listen to us adults with our infinite wisdom. The problem with that is that often they're not open to listening to us before we see them. And our advice and our recommendations and our problem solving is not going to be as impactful or helpful if we don't see them first. I talk about my approach, which, surprise, surprise, I'm writing a book, in the process of writing it, but you know, I talk about seeing eye trust. You have to be able to see this child before you can effectively guide this child. And so a lot of times we try to guide them first, and we're trying to tell them what to do, but what we're telling them to do is not actually helping them with the problem, or at least the problem that as they see it. And we have to meet them where they're at. What happens when we see a person, two big things happen. Big thing number one is when we see a person and they feel seen, they're more willing to be guided by us. Big thing number two that happens when we see a child, see a person, is that when they feel seen, not only are they more willing to be guided by us, but then we're able to, or that guidance that we want to offer to them is actually more able to connect with them and reach them to where they're actually at when we see them. It's illuminating when we see them, because then our problem solving that we're doing with them will be more helpful for them. A lot of times we offer guidance that doesn't really fit with what they're trying to do. So see them first. Now here comes script time. There's some words that you can use when they are frustrated, or they're mad, something happened, they did something. Start off the script as you want it next time. And the you want it is the seeing part. The next time is the guidance part. Remember, we got to see before we guide. So you want it. You know, you wanted the toy. You wanted to a hug. You wanted to play with him. You wanted to get my attention. You know, first talking about what they were trying to get out of the situation with their behavior. Not just focusing on, that's wrong, you shouldn't hit people, right? They hit the person because they wanted their toy back. We don't acknowledge them and acknowledge that they were trying to get their toy back. If we don't see that, then they're going to ignore our guidance, even if we offer some good guidance to help them get their toy back. So say you wanted to get your toy back. Next time, say, I was playing with it. Give it back. You wanted my attention. Next time, say, excuse me. You wanted to play with him. Next time, tap him on the shoulder and ask him to play, right? And the guidance might be different depending on the situation, depending on what, you know, your expectations, the expectations of the environment, depending on their development. But before we even get to that guidance part, we have to acknowledge what they were trying to get out of that situation, because that will open them up so much more to the guidance part and actually doing the thing that we want them to do next time. Now, another way to kind of say it is, you know, you were hoping to, you know, maybe they're really upset because they, you know, wanted a cookie before dinner. And by the way, you can offer the cookie with dinner and it won't be such a big deal. But let's say that is the expectation, that's the rule, and you want to set the boundary, that's what you're doing, let's say. You might say you were hoping to have a cookie before dinner, right? Or you were hoping that you wouldn't have to clean up. Or you were hoping that I would be able to pick you up right now. Right. First, talking about the thing that they're trying to get, the thing that they're wanting before we're even offering guidance. Then talk about the guidance and how they can get that thing, or what they can do to try to get that thing. And sometimes they won't be able to get that specific thing, and we're just offering empathy, and they're upset, and they're feeling their feelings, and we're allowing them to feel their feelings, and we're not even offering them any guidance, because there's not anything that they can do to solve this situation. They're just disappointed about something. They're just frustrated about something, and that's okay too. Allow them to feel their feelings without the need to change their feelings, right? If we can really get to a place where we can just allow them to feel, experience that emotion, and sometimes we still got to get from point A to point B, but can we allow them to feel and still move from point A to point B? You know, maybe we're picking them up and we're crying and we're acknowledging what they're feeling. Maybe we're offering empathy without even saying any words, with a tone and right? Maybe it's the hug. Maybe it's the hand on the back. Maybe it's holding their hand. Maybe it's a facial expression. We don't always have to use words. So see them first, right? And then you can offer some guidance next time. And that you wanted her to call you by your name, right? And even when it gets into conflict between two children, you know, you can acknowledge what they were feeling. You know, you seemed frustrated. You seemed, you know, angry. You seemed overwhelmed. You seemed sad. You seemed excited. And, you know, you didn't know what else to do, right? Really offering that empathy. Like, they didn't know what else to do. So you seemed frustrated and you didn't know what else to do. So you threw it, right? Really getting to that place of empathy, right? And not judging them for the behavior that they exhibited, right? Because that's often, that misbehavior is a cry for help. And we can choose to ignore the call. We can choose to hang up on them. Or we can choose to answer the call and connect with them. And when we answer that call, that cry for help, then we'll be able to give them direction on what to do, right? They're lost, right? They're calling you. They're driving. It's like they're trying to get to a place. They're trying to do something, and they're calling for help with their misbehavior. They don't have a GPS system, right? And so we need to help them develop that internal system of how to navigate different situations, how to problem solve. And by the way, when we talk about, we're saying, you seem frustrated, we don't need to stay stuck in the you seem frustrated and just the feeling part of it, right? We can, there's definitely opportunities in times where we may sit in those feelings. It might be a time, again, when they can't, maybe they had ice cream, the ice cream fell on the ground, and they're just disappointed. And you know, you're not driving back to get another ice cream. You're not going to save them from the emotion. You're not going to say, oh, we'll drive back, I'll make it all better. We sit with them. We teach them how to sit in that emotion, that discomfort, right? A lot of us adults don't know how to sit in the discomfort of our emotions, and that's why we're trying to always change children's emotions. Sit in it. So you want it next time. The you want it is really the empathy part. And you don't need to go zip past the empathy part. There's time for problem solving, but only once they feel seen and once we felt our feelings. Because that's going to help develop their internal GPS system for how to solve the problems when they're feeling this way, right? Oh, I feel this way. What did I do to solve the problem last time? And as we do this, and as we are acknowledging what they're feeling and what they're wanting and what they're hoping, and and helping them solve problems. We're creating connections in their brains, and over time they will learn to solve the problems on their own. It will take time because us adults are still struggling with it, but a lot of us adults haven't had a lot of time to practice. We want to give them time to practice. Now, often that means we need to practice, right, as us as adults. And that first part of acknowledging our feelings and dealing with our feelings, that's part of our practice. And as we acknowledge their feelings and what to do and how to solve the problem, if you notice, it's parallel. What I talked about of us and how we self-regulate and get into problem solving, it parallels on how we're helping and coaching this child through working through their emotions, feeling their emotions, acknowledging their emotions, and solving the problem. Making a choice, acknowledging the choices. And choices, by the way, that's another skill we're going to get to at another time. But remember, empathy first. And also remember, these aren't skills that, you know, some skills, sometimes it's more appropriate to use to focus on your skill of assertiveness. Sometimes it's more appropriate to focus on your skill of empathy. Sometimes it's more appropriate to focus on your skill of composure. Sometimes it's more appropriate to use them all in the same moment, even. And on the authentic piece and making this authentic to you, you know, if I said you want it, you were hoping, you know, if I say you were trying to, is one of the how I use it, how it comes out for me. You're trying to get that toy, right? If I was from the South, I might say you were finna, right? Make it fit you and your authentic voice. And we're going to wrap up empathy. There's so much more I could say, and quite frankly, I want to say, but we're going to wrap it up. I think we've made good time here on this episode, and I hope this helps. Please send me a message. Give me feedback. I feel like I've improved in communicating this message and the solo message from the first one, but you tell me if it's any different. If you like the assertiveness more, let me know. Let me know what you liked. If you like this episode more, let me know. Let me know what you liked. I recorded these on different times of the day, so you might notice my energy level is a little different. I recorded this at the end of the day, where I think I'm still a little ramped up from working at the school. Last time, I recorded in the morning. So maybe there's a difference in the time. I don't know, but I know I'm going to keep on improving. And maybe not every episode will be better than the last, but over time, it will all get better. All the episodes will get better. And just know that even if you are struggling with these skills, as I'm teaching you, as you're learning and as you're trying, and sometimes it, you know, yesterday you were better than you were today and you feel like you're regressing, or maybe it's been a whole week or even a whole month, just remember to have empathy for yourself and, you know, keep putting in the work, keep learning. And if you keep trying, you will keep improving. And if you made it to the end of this episode, I believe in you. And message me on Instagram, and, you know, maybe there's a way I can support more. For those who are looking for more support on a one-on-one basis, Patreon, www.patreon.com/Mr. Chaz. That's how you can get access to one-on-one coaching. I am more responsive to people on Instagram who subscribe because they have a little icon that shows you are a subscriber. So you pop out before all the other messages that I get, and I prioritize the subscriber messages. And then I move on to the other messages. So if you are trying to get in contact with me, if you have tried to get in contact with me or have not responded, that is a way to kind of shortcut to get me to respond more quickly, So there is there's that. I hope you enjoyed the episode and have a great day. Keep on improving. Remember that the goal isn't to be perfect every day. The goal is to improve a little every day. And it's the end of the day, and I'm tired, so I'm out.
What's my name? What's my name? What's my